You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Now, growing up on the streets of Depression-era Brooklyn, the son of Russian immigrants, Larry Zeiger became known to millions as Emmy Award winner Larry King, host of CNN's Larry King Live, the first worldwide phone and television talk show, and the longest-running show with the same host in the same time slot on the same network in the history of television. Beamed out live to 200 countries and territories around the world, Larry was a broadcaster for more than 50 years and interviewed the most compelling and influential people in the world, major political leaders and cultural luminaries alike. Now, in this book, Truth Be Told, Larry reflects on how much the world has changed around him over the course of his 50-year career and shares inside stories on some of the most fascinating figures of our time. Larry is easily one of my most memorable guests over the years, primarily for answering the question, Larry, are you afraid of dying? With, you bet your ass I am. And that's how it went down on The Drew Marshall Show. Good to have you back, Larry. How are you today?
Good to be back. Good to be with you. From my favorite city next to San Francisco is Toronto.
Nice. It's a nice place. This is a voracious book tour you are on. You were just working it hard. You're pounding the pavement, young man.
Well, actually, in cities, it's just New York and L.A. and the rest of satellites and phones like this.
So it's a little easier.
And I got a couple of book signings back in New Jersey next week. We're putting together our second special for CNN. It's going to be on the last film of Harry Potter. So we've got inside scenes, and I've got to go back to New York to do a tape with the star. Do a book signing there, but it's normal for the course. I've been traveling so much, Drew, it's unbelievable. I've been in Korea, I've been in Portugal. I was the keynote speaker at a couple of digital conferences. I'm doing my comedy tour, so
wow.
I'm not retired.
No, by no means. Okay, so let's set this up here. We're having breakfast at Nate and Al's. First of all, what table are we going to sit at, Larry?
About the last one on the left.
Last one on the left. Okay, what are you going to order?
Today I'm going to have lox, eggs, and onions.
All right. And what would you suggest for me?
I would suggest for you to have a good, typical Jewish breakfast. I have bagel, cream cheese, and lox.
You know what? I ate a lot of that. I was in Israel for a month in December.
Oh. We're
filming a documentary, and I got to say, the food is the best. All right. Truth be told, though, are you still afraid of dying?
Of course. Why would that change? The older I get, the more afraid. I'm too curious to die. I want to know what's going on. I don't want to see my children sad. I don't want to know. I don't know anything good about it, by the way. That's why I have never believed in the after-death theories, and I think if it helps you, fine. I think I'm going to be cryogenic.
Okay. I like that. Last time we talked, you were at Falls View Casino, and truth be told, I was a little unsure what the heck Larry King was going to do on stage.
Well, all my career, I've done speeches, and I've spoken for... I started out at Rotary Clubs, and then I've done conventions and sales meetings, and I always did funny stuff. I always told funny stories, things that have happened to me in childhood, and on the air and off the air. And after I kind of semi-retired, my nephew is Scott Zeiger, who runs a company called Base Entertainment. They are one of the largest Broadway production houses, producing theater all over the world, and he said to me, why don't you do a one-man stand-up, tell stories, and we'll theatrically produce it, the director, producer, lighting people, we'll have backdrops behind him, videos, and do 90 minutes.
Well, I was blown away. I was so impressed, honestly. I did go with the mindset, Larry, of, what I wonder what this is going to be like, and you killed.
Well, this has gone even beyond that. My wife opened for me there. She's opened for me in a few places. We've enhanced that show. The same stories, but some more stories that you didn't see. It goes longer, and a lot of video, a lot of... Your mind is kept constantly active in addition to the story. We keep eye movement going. It's you could take it to Broadway. But I'm happy you said that, because they are funny stories.
Oh, you are a brilliant storyteller, and that's a lost art, let me tell you. Well, truth be told, when my wife and I met you and your wife, Sean, after the show... and gave you that book that I'm sure you read immediately that night. Sean is one of the most stunning and talented women I have ever met. I mean, poor old Carl, he must have had his hands full raising those girls.
You can bet. She's a piece of work. She's upstairs sleeping. She stays up all night for some reason with her Twitters and her Facebooks, and of course that loses me. So I'm asleep and she's up. So during the day, I'm going to go out to lunch now, and she'll probably get up early afternoon. I think we'll go see the Woody Allen movie tonight. And the boys go to camp next week.
Well, that's it. I mean, again, truth be told, Larry, during the interview last time, you lit up the most when we started talking about the boys.
Well, they're my, you know, chances 12. If not, I might let them be 13. Cannon's 11. And then next week, chance goes to Bradenton, Florida, to the IMG baseball camp, very famous camp. Jeter went there, a lot of ballplayers. And he's a very, very, very good baseball player. And that's an advanced camp. It's just baseball all day long. There's no, you know, wampum Indian parties.
No.
It's a baseball camp. And Cannon's going to football camp at BYU. And then after 2 weeks, they switch to a baseball camp, and Chance will join them there. Then they come back to L.A., and they go to UCLA camp, baseball, and Dodger baseball camp, and then go back to school. Or might get a vacation somewhere in there. They love playing ball. They're very athletic. Okay. And the mother will get a chance to rest a little in Utah, and I'll get a little chance to rest here and get caught up on, get my medical tests, my annual physicals, and go out and do a couple of things, going to Moscow in July at the invitation of Putin to speak at his conference and go see St. Petersburg. I've never been there. And I'm going to take the month of August off and then September go back on the comedy tour. We're also talking about doing some other television stuff.
Really?
So keeping busy.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't retire. You can't retire.
You can't.
Retired to what?
Exactly. Well, Kathy Lee has told me for years that Frank Gifford is the best mother in the world. What kind of a mother are you?
I'm a much better mother now than when my three grown kids grew up because I'm more attentive to them. I take them to their practices, and I take them to events they have to go to. And Sean's very good, too. We split the time pretty good. And we have two boys sometimes with different interests and different friends, even though they're only 14 months apart. So, like today, Chance is going to Baseball Central. I'm taking him in about 20 minutes. That is a hitting camp, just for hitting. Cannon, on the other hand, is going to look at a new bike. So he's got a guy, a friend of his, who's taking him. Then hopefully Sean will get up and we'll spend some time together.
Good, good.
Well, that's the schedule for today.
Truth be told, you hit the news there a little while ago, shortly after the last time on our show, and all I'm going to say is I'm happy for you and Sean that, you know, whatever happened or didn't happen, I'm happy for you guys. That,
thank you.
That
we had a little rough go, but it's much better now. Sometimes you got to go through the tunnel to get to the other side. And I also reveal in the book that I had prostate cancer, and that wasn't easy.
No.
Although I had a very mild case, and I sometimes wonder if I should have had I didn't have chemotherapy. I had radiation.
Right.
They caught it in the very early stages, and puts men in a quarry because you quandary rather, because you have one eminent urologist saying, don't do anything. You're fine. You'll live another 20, 25 years. The other one says, listen, I'd like you to live another 20 years. Why don't we guarantee it? Due to urology. Due to take the radiation.
Right.
So I called on Michael Milken, who's a friend of mine who's gone through this, and he recommended that I do the radiation. So I did. And there's no pain involved, but there are after effects. And I never felt bad from it. And most people over 80, I'm 77, have prostate cancer.
Wow. I had no idea.
Usually die with it, not of it. It's got to spread. It doesn't kill you. It's the spreading that kills you.
Is there any correlation, Larry, between the prostate cancer diagnosis and where your head was at with regards to whether you were going to stay married or not?
It probably was a combination of everything. I knew that CNN had only offered me a one-year extension.
Okay.
So that was disappointing because even though I thought it was near the end of the road anyway, because I'm against all this tabloid crap. I think it all came together. You know, it's called loss.
Yeah.
And lot of this book, while a lot of it's funny, a lot of it deals with loss and dealing with loss, which is the toughest thing to deal with, change and loss. So, yeah, I would say it all combined. I think everything did combine. I miss CNN. I miss it on nights of big stories when they kill Osama bin Laden, or Gaddafi has problems in Libya, or Mubarak is out of office. I miss those in a Japan tragedy. However, I don't miss the Kardashians or Paris Hilton. And unfortunately, in today's media, you got to do that.
Yeah. You know, I was, Kathy Lee joined us, was it last week or the week before, Tim? Do you remember? Was it last week? And we talked about her interview with Snooki, the one she had to do with Snooki. And, you know, it's tough. It's tough when you look at people and say, you know, back in the day you were on these sorts of shows, your show, because of great accomplishments or great talent, not because sex tapes.
Yeah. Today you're a celebrity for being a celebrity. But unfortunately, I hope it's cyclical.
Yeah.
I hope that the Larry King type thing goes around, comes around. I think there'll always be a need for it. I don't understand this. You have to please people 18 to 45. I've never understood that, since there's much more buying power over 50.
Well, that's right, and there will be more and more.
Except they tell you that young people are prone to change more than older people, which is probably true.
Probably true.
And that older people can be reached in many places, and you have to target young people. I get, look, hey, these are advertising agencies. They're geniuses. They came up with the Edsel.
That's right. When it comes to looking at the show that you used to do and someone else is sitting in the seat and Pierce is there, and I kept putting myself in your shoes. You know, this is my eighth season, coming up to nine in a few months. If I leave, will the show continue and who will do it? And I sit there and wonder, could I handle it? Could I handle someone else doing my show?
Well, what you got to do is you got to put it aside. It is television. I never through all the years ever felt I owned the camera. I didn't own the camera. It was a lease for 9 o'clock each night, and they put it in my hands, and I did a good job with it, and I helped them, and they helped me, and we had a kind of marriage. But no one said forever. Nothing is forever.
No.
And in television, really nothing is forever.
Do you watch it, though? Do you watch Pierce?
I watch him on a big night, sure. But I don't watch him with the run of guests that we've already had, you know. I don't wish him poorly. I know other people don't. My friends of mine, they hope he does. I don't want him to do poorly. I'm still part of CNN. He's very different. It's very hard to step in where anyone was for 25 years.
Yeah.
You know, you picture in the old days you had to replace Arthur Godfrey or Walter Winchell or step into any site that has been established for a long time. Now, what could have mediated it somewhat, if they had picked a major American personality, like, let's say, Ryan Seacrest was one. I thought of that here's a young guy, and if he knew a lot about politics, and I'm a friend of Ryan's, but we don't talk politics much, he'd have been ideal because the public would be more acceptance than someone coming over from Britain who you didn't know. Not that he's not good. It's just that it's a different form of acceptance. But from a viewing standpoint, the hardest night, and I watch because I want to learn, is when a big event occurs.
Right, so when bin Laden was killed and you weren't in the chair, that must have been tough.
Was tough, and what they did that night was, Pierce didn't work, they put Wolf on, and they put, you know, they got a bunch of correspondents together, but I would have been in, anchoring all that, which is one of the things I liked doing and did best. I never was much of a field guy, but I was very good at handling 10 guests at once, and moving things around and going to this guy and that girl and that reporter there and this general there and what's happening here. I liked being the centerpiece of that, and I knew how to do that well. I understood pace. I know how to do that. And so it's right up my alley. That's why doing documentaries is a piece of cake to me. We did one on Alzheimer's that's up for awards already.
Huh.
We got one coming on Harry Potter. We're doing another one with Dinner at Larry's. We're going to have a bunch of famous people sitting here having dinner. I love that. I love mixing the scene. It's a control thing.
Yeah, really. Author of Truth Be Told, off the record about favorite guests, memorable moments, funniest jokes, and a half century of asking questions. Folks, I watched this man take an audience and shape them, and it was like putty in his hands. You had everybody on the edge of their seats. They were captivated by your storytelling. If your book is anything like your live show, my goodness.
Well, Drew, you will enjoy the book. It's a lot like the live show and a lot more because there's some serious things in it which are not in the live show. But I get no bigger kick than standing on a stage and making people laugh. It's orgasmic almost. It's this thing that occurs nowhere else in show business. I have a great appreciation for the monologist who can stand on a stage with no help and make someone laugh.
Well, and you've got a great Canadian funny man on your team as well. Who's the guy from Kids in the Hall that's working with this stage show? Isn't it Jim Milan? Doesn't he work with you at all?
Oh, Jim is my director.
Yeah.
Terrific.
He's well regarded up here for that Kids in the Hall stuff. I mean,
He put together my show, and he flies in whenever I do one. I just saw him last week. Last week we did Vegas, and we did Phoenix. And then we did, before that, we did Boston and Indianapolis. And where did we open in? Atlantic City.
Well, let's finish this time, Larry, with a story. Please, lay one out for us. Something that'll say, we got to get the book.
Oh, that's hard to do. First, the stories run a little long, so it's difficult to do that. But I'll tell a quick one. I had just gotten on the air. I had wanted all my life to be a broadcaster. I was on the air for about 3 months, and the program manager called me, and I was doing everything, sports, news, records, anything, $50 a week. He called me, and he said, the all-night guy is sick. Would you sit in tonight and do the all-night show? Just play music and talk. There's no one else, small station, no engineer there. It's just you. I said, sure, 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 because I would accept anything. Yes, yes, yes. So I'm on the air. It's like 3 in the morning. I'm playing records. Phone rings. I pick it up, WAHR, and I hear this voice. A sultry voice say, I want you. Now, I'm a little Jewish boy from Brooklyn. I believe that the pimples are from Hershey Bars. No sultry voice has ever called me, and no one has ever said those three words to me, I want you. And she said, I said, why? I get off at 6. And she said, I go to work at 6. I said, but I'm on the air. And she says, here's my address. Figure out a way. Okay, I'm alone. I got the record. She lives 10 blocks away. I am faced with my first moral dilemma in broadcasting. By the way, there'd be many others.
There'd be many, many others.
Many, many others. All right. So here's what the radio audience heard. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have a real treat in store for you. You're going to hear the entire Harry Belafonte at Carnegie Hall album, uninterrupted. I have 33 minutes, which is all the time I need, and which is still true to this day. Anyway, the record begins, I hop in a car, go to 10 blocks, there's the house, there's the car, there's the little light over the front door, I open the door, there's a lady in a white nightgown, never saw her face clear. I go up to the counter, I put my arms around her, my right cheek touches her right cheek, and on the radio, Harry singing, and I hear, down the way, we're the nights, we're the nights, we're the nights. The record gets started. I jump up, I leave her, never saw her again, and her husband run to the car, drive the 10 blocks, Jewish masochism, I keep the radio on. Saturday night, Saturday night. I get into the station, all the phones are going, I'm apologizing, and the funniest ending of the story is I pick up the phone, the last caller is an old Jewish man. I pick up, I said, WHR, and all I hear is, better nights, better nights. I'm going crazy. I said, Mister, I'm sorry, but why didn't you just change the station? He said, I'm an invalid, and a nurse takes care of me all day, and she leaves at night. She sets the radio, and the radio's up on top of the dresser, and I can't get out of the bed. So I've been listening to Vera Nice for 25 minutes. That's the Vera Nice story. I got to run, dude.
Love it.
Always great talking to you.
Love it. Thank you, Larry. I appreciate
your
time.
Again, baby. We're going to work Toronto. We'll get you the date.
Oh, I appreciate that. Please let me know. We'll do what we can.
Thanks, man.
Take care, Larry. Larry King on The Drew Marshall Show, broadcasting legend and author of Truth Be Told, off the record about favorite guests, memorable moments, funniest jokes, and half a century of asking questions. The guy is the king of storytelling. You know what I'm saying?
I'll never be able to listen to Harry Belafonte again.
Okay, folks, a short break on the show. It's our Father's Day special today. We'll be right back.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.